Before Dr. Krishna Chandra begins his first subject for today, let's take a look at the problem that he will be removing. So we're looking at the 13th on the list of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's demons and the anarchists that they represent. Krishna's pastime of swallowing the forest fire represents the obstacles that atheists create against Dharma, that means a Sangatan mission basically, and preachers of Dharma. Krishna personally removes these obstacles to the propagation of true Dharma. Now, have any of you had personal experience of Krishna doing this? Has Krishna personally come?
I had a brief knowledge of this.
Has Krishna personally come to you?
Oh, personally, okay.
No? Well, I have a different perspective of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here. The Yuga Dharma is Nam Sanctum. Nam and Nami are non-different. So haven't you noticed when you call Krishna's name, Krishna's present? Otherwise, why don't we get out of these difficulties so easily? He makes the arrangement. So this is what I picked up from this, that Nam and Nami are non-different. So Krishna's name is also Krishna personally coming. This is one thing that came to my mind. Now something that struck me about this is that although we're preachers and we're talking of Krishna as our protector and the protector of Dharma, quite often we say that Krishna doesn't offer his protection immediately. Can you think of examples of that? It's like it takes some time before protection is there. Prahlad Maharaj,
yes,
Pandavas.
Even Haridas Thakur, he got beaten up in like 21 marketplaces. 22 marketplaces, yeah.
So Krishna Mahaprabhu wanted to intercede with that one. But the potency of Haridas' compassion wouldn't allow him to hit those guys with his chakra. So he put his own body on the body of Haridas to protect him. So he did protect him. A lot of these Prabhupada and Mr. Nair in Bombay. Well, now it's Mumbai. But, so many times we see that Krishna doesn't immediately intervene. He doesn't immediately give protection. So why is that? Why would Krishna do that? He wants to see his devotees suffer?
Probably just increase their surrender more.
Yeah. The Pandavas are not surrendered?
Yeah, but it's like they are surrendered, but it's probably just increase the intensity and dependence on Krishna more.
Maybe glorify their tolerance.
Yeah, glorify their good qualities. Also, we find that with the pure devotee, they're very aware that they're very insignificant. And they're quite happy to be a pawn on Krishna's playboard. So we see that, you take the drama of Kurukshetra. So many things had to be in shape, had to be in place. And the Pandavas and the torturing of the Pandavas, the way that they were dealt with, had a very strong part to play in all of those pieces falling into shape. So we can see that it may be, as you said, that to increase the relationship between Krishna and the devotee, increase the devotee's surrender for Krishna, maybe as you said, for the glorification of the devotee. But it's definitely also because sometimes Krishna's got a number of things that he wants to do at one time, and everything has to be in place. And he can count on his devotees to play their part in the drama. They're not going to create any difference. Yeah. They're not going to say, I don't like my part. Which is what we usually do. Is that okay? So I found that interesting. Now, I thought that rather than theorize about this particular thing, we'd tell stories that are real stories concerning devotees, devotee preachers who have been protected by Krishna, where the preaching mission, either Brihat Madanga or Madanga, where these missions have been protected. I thought to start with one from when I was only a bhakti, very new to the movement. It was 1980 in Melbourne, Australia. And at that time, all the bhaktins got to basically do cleaning and deity worship. We weren't allowed to go out preaching. So my favorite time in the week was when we did Nam Sankirtan on Saturday nights. That was my favorite time. It was really amazing. And one time we were out on the streets, I can't remember who was leading, it was some pretty amazing devotee. And we got to a big park and we were chanting in the park and a lot of people were coming and being involved with the Harinam chanting. But then the person who was leading noticed that there was a huge group of bikies, we call them, quite vicious people, that were surrounding the whole Harinam group.
Oops.
And they were wearing knuckle busters, they were carrying chains. Didn't look like they were going to be interested in joining the Harinam, it looked like they wanted to break it. So it was quite an amazing thing, because my life up to that point had been very, very protected. And I wasn't familiar with these kind of violent scenes and all that sort of thing. I didn't have a very protected childhood and youthhood. And so when this happened, what he did, he just yelled over to the mic, he was carrying a hand mic, and he said, "Everybody sit down." So everybody sat down. And then he started leading the Sringadev prayers. And I was petrified. I was really frightened. So I just started, I closed my eyes, and I was just concentrating on singing these prayers. And I really didn't know a lot about them, but I was singing them. And by the time he told us to sit down, they were quite tight around the Harinam. And we were singing these prayers. We finished the prayers. Then he said, "So now you can get up and we'll continue the Harinam." And I opened my eyes and they were gone.
Wow.
It was such an incredible experience. It really deepened my faith so much. I became a real Shingadev fan. But it was an incredible experience because that the violence energy was so strong and it was close to us. And in his amazing Krishna consciousness, he just said, "Sit down." And we chanted the Shingadev prayers very loudly. And by the time we finished, the whole thing had dissipated and we just went on with the Harinam.
Okay, I'll not name anybody. This is around 89 in Russia. So this particular sannyasi, he goes there for preaching, and they would have house programs because KGB was still active in those days. And they were having a house program, and he was doing he was giving a lecture, and then there was supposed to be a feast afterwards. So these two KGB men, they came in, and as they were posing as devotees, and then when there was time for the feast and prasadam, they went in the kitchen, and then they started trying to serve everything. So this particular sannyasi was poisoned. They poisoned the prasadam. And in fact, when he started eating, he knew that it was poisoned. But he went on eating. And when he finished, he was like really sick by that time because the poison had started acting. And then they rushed him to the hospital. And when the doctors saw him, they said, "We are surprised that he survived this kind of poison. You cannot survive this kind of a poison." So that is Krishna's protection, that in prasadam they are giving him poison, and how else do you survive such a thing?
They only poisoned him?
Yeah, only poisoned him.
And then he was asked that when he came to know that it's poison, why did you eat it? So he said, "This is Krishna prasad, so I couldn't have left it." So he ate the whole thing.
Amazing.
I thought it was really Krishna's protection, you know.
But doctors didn't do anything?
Sorry?
The doctors didn't do anything?
They did, like they flushed out the system and all that, but they were surprised that it was really very potent and, you know, how he survived it. So.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
What? I have some smaller one. There's this another sannyasi, and he's a Naishtik Brahmachari, and so from the earlier times only, he would always, you know, stay away from the Matajis.
Very active preacher.
Very active preacher. So his spiritual master, you know, like, taught him like this, that, you know, you have, even if the women are close to you, you still have to, you know, protect yourself. So he was trained like that, that, okay, not that, okay, you stay away from the women, but he purposely used to bring the women close to him. So he got trained to, you know, still maintain his brahmacharya and things. So then later on, after his spiritual master had left and he was preaching very actively, so there was this Mataji who decided to, you know, like marry him or something like that. So she tried every possible thing, trying to, you know, get very close to him. And, you know, she would get really mad if, you know, when he didn't show any positive thing. But still, and she tried different things. But then, you know, eventually, you know, she couldn't do anything. So I always felt that was Krishna's protection that, you know, he had, that he could, you know, not
otherwise
get.
It's difficult when, you know, somebody is after your life like that.
Mm.
And you're young. And that's a young Mataji, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's true.
Because when they just decide that, okay, I have to do this, then they do all kind of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, you know, when actively she tried everything, but still, you know, nothing could be done. So that is, I always feel that's just Krishna's protection, that you know, he protected his devotee who had vowed for brahmachari and sannyas.
And preaching, active preacher. And also to this Mataji, he was preaching out of compassion. He just felt that, you know, if I preach to her, she'll be all right, she'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
So he went on preaching to her out of compassion.
Mm. Amazing.
So.
Anyone else like to say anything?
I know only you was. But you will know better than me.
Tell one about your girlfriend.
Krishna is always helping.
Yeah, we're not talking about Krishna helping, we're talking about Krishna actively protecting his preacher. Talking specifically about preachers. Who are active in the Sankirtan mission and how Krishna protects them. Okay. Not very active today with our stories. No problem. So it looks like we're ready for surgery, our first surgery for today. So let's have a look at Krishna book. Anyone like to say anything of what they actually found most appealing or most important about this first leela?
Actually, throughout the leelas that we're reading, one point which is getting more and more and more reinforced every time,
mm-hmm.
is how the devotees depend completely on Krishna,
yeah.
and how he never lets them down, how he's infallible when it comes to protecting his devotees.
Mm.
So
that's a sweet point.
Yeah,
and actually, that's the essence of the mood of the Vrijvasis.
Yeah.
Rupa Goswami says that in Upadeshamrita, why are the gopis the most exalted? Because of their total dependence on Krishna the Cowherd Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good to pick that up, because this is a very essential point. Anything else?
I had the same point. And to add to this point, like the Cowherd Boys, they don't even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
But they just love him and they have full dependence in him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I also picked up on that point that they're completely, they feel that only Krishna can protect them. He's their only protector. They have no other source of protection. But then I realize that there's a very big difference between our sense of Krishna being protector and their sense of Krishna being protector. And for them, he's their friend. And the relationship is very intimate and very solid. So, you know, for us, it's if we're in difficulty, we remember Krishna. If we're not, then maybe we don't, you know. And I was reminded again of what I shared with you last session, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. I want to read a little bit of it again because it's just so sweet. So they're calling out to Krishna, certainly your own friends shouldn't be destroyed. Oh, no, the nature of things. We've accepted you as our Lord and we are souls surrendered unto you. So it's in this mood of friendship. They have this very strong mood of friendship. And Krishna, you know, he's saying, okay, just close your eyes. But then they laugh with him, joke with him, and they say, no, that won't work. What are you saying, close your eyes? You know. So there's this sweetness to the mood. It's not just, I'm in distress, I'm frightened, you know, I'll depend on Krishna. There's no other way I can do this, I'm just depending on Krishna. But rather it's just a natural part of the relationship. And a very friendly relationship. So they're joking and arguing with him and like that. And I just find it really, really sweet, the way they do things. And they sort of rationalize amongst themselves, you know, like, why they should do that. Maybe Krishna's right. Maybe Krishna's... Maybe we should do it, you know. They talk like this. So it's such a sweet little boy mood that they have. You know, especially the little bit at the end where they see Krishna's supernatural powers and they think, maybe he's a demigod. But then they think, well, you know, we're the same as him. Maybe we're demigods.
That's so sweet.
You know, so this whole mood is just, you know, it's just so captivating. It's so appealing. But it is very, very different than our mood of seeing, at this point in time, our mood of seeing Krishna as protector. It's more of a mechanical, you know, I've heard it works, you know, like I don't have any choice. You know, it's like that. But for them, it's such a sweet, you know, it's just part of, a very basic part of their relationship with Krishna. And I wanted to share that with you again because I found it so, I was captivated by it. It's just so, so wonderful. Any other points that anybody wanted to share?
I like how the cows are shouting for Krishna and then Krishna is calling their names and then they answer very happily, oh, we are here, we are here. Krishna means they were also happy they found the cows and the cows were also happy. Mm-hmm. And then Krishna called each cow by the name, then such a nice personal dealing, yeah. Like Krishna. Then I thought that is the way Krishna likes it also.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that section is actually very wonderful. He knows the individual names of the cows and he calls them individually. So not only the boyfriends are important, but his cows are people also. And he loves his cows. So he just said, yeah. You know,
so personal he is in his dealings.
Yeah. That's sweet. Give it on.
I read.
Yeah,
I like this part. The personality of Godhead heard the appealing voices of his friends and casting a pleasing glance over them, he began to answer by speaking through his eyes. He impressed upon his friends that there was no cause for fear and he assured them, don't worry. Then Krishna, the supreme mystic, the powerful personality of Godhead, immediately swallowed up all the flames of the fire. Suddenly he's telling, yeah. Don't worry,
yeah.
I'm there with you. I love that.
Yeah, that's very special.
And really nobody else could have done anything.
Yeah.
If the forest, and there was wind, and then the forest burns.
Yeah.
But for Krishna, no.
Okay, so let's read from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. This is also quite an amazing rendition of this Leela. Though some disturbance was caused by the death of Pralamba, the cowherd boys left the place where he was killed, polluted like a crematorium ground, and went to play under Bandira's large expanse of branches. When the frolicking boys decided to return home, they saw that the cows had strayed far off and had entered a grove of reeds on the bank of the Yamuna. The boys began searching for the cows that were lost and trapped in the reeds. Realizing they'd lost the cows, the boys gathered together quickly in lamentation, fearfully calling for them. They began to think that some cruel rascal on the order of Kansa had come and taken the cows. Understanding the cows' path by seeing their hoof marks, Krishna then called them. He climbed a high bank, waved his yellow cloth, and called out loudly. The cows then made sounds like the Chataka bird, which had suddenly attained water-laden clouds rumbling with thunder and flashing with lightning. When Kansa approached the cows and was standing there, assistants of Kansa, seeing that Pralamba had been destroyed, took the opportunity and secretly surrounded the reed grove. With enmity, they created an inescapable shower of fire with extraordinary heat produced by their evil mantras. The fire burned angrily, throwing off sparks and blazing up, scorched the reeds groves with a sizzling sound. The cows became very frightened. They gathered and separated in panic. Though they decided to protect Krishna when they saw the fire, his friends could only pray to him for their protection. O Krishna, O Krishna, most powerful one, O Rama, O you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by this forest fire. We have come to take shelter of you, only of you. When Krishna Balaram came close, Krishna heard their pain and their words of praise. Coming to them, he understood their fear. In anger, he began to think, these friends are dearer to me than my life. Seeing the forest fire, they become frightened. I will devour the fire, something which even Yama and Shiva cannot do. But my friends will not be able to endure seeing me swallow the fire. They will be distressed and at eating fire. He then said, oh, do not be afraid. Please close your eyes. There's another reason. He didn't want them to be distressed. That, you know, they wouldn't like him, see him in pain. When they closed their eyes with concentration and using Yoga Maya, he produced a body like a huge rain cloud. With its large mouth, he devoured the forest fire without difficulty. Some say that by his desire, the fire became like a drop of nectar. Then the cowherd boys opened their eyes and were amazed to find not only that they and the cows had been saved from the terrible fire, but they had all been brought back to the Bandira tree. Retrieving the cows, Krishna, playing his flute in the company of Balaram and spreading his glory among his friends, returned to Braj in the evening. So it's just a very beautiful little insight. And, you know, he didn't want his friends to be upset that he was swallowing fire. So, Tori, you close your eyes. Okay, let's hear from Ananda Vrindavan Temple.
Once upon a time, while Damodar, Balaram, Sri Ram, Sudam, Subal, and the other gopas rested beside the Yamuna, the cows, attracted by the fresh sprouted grass, wandered deep into the nearby forest named Munjatavi. For no apparent reason, the birds sleeping in the trees suddenly startled, filled with fear, and darted from the treetops when the cows entered the forest. Krishna, whose eyes are colored like pink lotus flowers, and who is the inner guide of all living entities, noticed that the gopas had become apprehensive about the safety of the cows. In a mood of love, Krishna compassionately addressed them. Hey friends, look! Where have our cows gone? Only the light of happiness shines in this forest full of birds and deer. So there is really no need to worry about the cows. Nevertheless, since we cannot see any of them right now, let us go and find the cows and rejoice again in their company. After the beautiful Lord spoke, the gopas, who are expert in herding cows, looked for partially chewed grass, fresh hoof prints in the soil, and any other signs of cows' movements. Following these signs, they walked through the densely foliated forest, reaching the end of their desire to search any longer. The cowherd boys became doubtful and apprehensive about the safety of the cows. They resembled people who became full of distress and lamentation after not finding any happiness in life. Suddenly, the gopas saw a powerful forest fire devouring all dry reeds and grass in its path. Their eyes burned from the blustery hot winds generated by that fire. Overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety, the cowherd boys looked at each other with tear-filled eyes. Their movements resembled a bewildered man who prays when facing difficulty. Not finding the cows, the gopas just kept thinking about them. Meanwhile, seeing no sign of their masters, no escape from the fire, and no hope for survival, the cows cried in fear. Upon returning to the Bhandirwa tree, the gopas reported the results of their search. Krishna responded by promising to personally save the cows from imminent death. Although Krishna is the Supreme Brahman and a Chintamani gem fulfilling the desires of all, he assumes the form of an ordinary human being. Dashing into the Munjatavi forest, Krishna summoned the cows with a sweet tune from his flute. Then he called them individually with his melodious voice. Hey Dhavallika! Hey Chandani! Hey Nandini! Hey Mukta! Hey Indutilika! Hey Kasturi! Hey Kapurika! Hey Pinga! Hey Rangini! Hey Dhumal! Hey Kinjilika! Hey Shyama! Hey Ketuki! Hey Chandrika! Hey Shivalika! Hey Kashmirika! Hey Champaka! He! The transcendental vibration of Krishna's magnificent murali enchanted the entire universe and attracted the cows. Hearing the gentle sound of Krishna's sweet flute reassured the cows of their imminent rescue. Overwhelmed with joy, the cows eagerly waited for Krishna, but since they were trapped in a ring of fire, they could not see their savior. In desperation, they cried in response to Krishna's call. Their voices choked with fear, the cows continually vibrated a piteous "Humba, humba, humba," though far beyond the comprehension of munis, gyanis, and impersonalists. Krishna is easily seen by his pure devotees. Hearing the wailing of the cows in the distance, Nandanandan, Haladhar, and their gopa friends felt reassured that they were nearby. The brilliant effulgences and radiant smiles of the cowherd boys dispelled the deep darkness of the forest as they rushed towards the cows. The rising tidal wave of jubilation cleansed all anxieties from their bewildered minds. Then, by the arrangement of providence, the boys found the cows standing helplessly, unprotected, in the middle of a blazing fire. "Alas, look how they are suffering! They are in great danger and very close to death," thought the cowherd boys. The greatly distressed cows immersed their minds in thoughts of Krishna, while staring at him with shining, tearful eyes. Being the limitless ocean of compassion, Krishna felt very much aggrieved to see their agonized condition. The raging flames of the fire reached so high into the sky that even a torrential downpour could not extinguish them. Before immediately swallowing that uncontrollable forest fire, Krishna, whose face is incomparably beautiful, addressed his followers. "Oh friends, just close your eyes. Forget about this illusion and be happy again." The cowherd boys, their long hair hanging attractively over their shoulders, closed their eyes while Krishna displayed a drop of his unlimited opulence. Krishna Chandra, who can do anything, held his cupped hands to his lotus mouth and drank the forest fire as if it were liquid ambrosia. It appeared that his majestic power personified had swallowed the fire. Usually it takes a torrential downpour to stop a forest fire. But Krishna, however, who easily extinguishes a blazing fire of material existence, put out the fire with a sidelong glance. Out of compassion for the cows, Krishna saved them with a mere touch of his own energy. Krishna attracts worldly people to his transcendental pastimes by showing his majestic opulence from time to time. As one presses pulp to extract the essence, Krishna's pastime revealed the essence of the absolute truth. This is not surprising since Krishna is the supreme Parabrahma, the embodiment of all power who energizes the sun, moon and fire. At the same time, he is full of variegated personal energies. At one moment, Krishna kills the demon Bakasur, and the next moment he relishes intimate pastimes with the gopis. Sometimes he covers his sweet personal aspect and displays inestimable power of his unlimited majestic opulences. Besides acting as the resting place of Brahman, Krishna shelters all types of energies. Therefore, swallowing a tiny forest fire is an insignificant feat for such a wonderful personality as Krishna, who is the combined form of complete sweetness and majesty. What scholar would not become totally captivated when trying to understand the inconceivable truth of Sri Krishna? Inspired and blissful over the whole pastime, Brahma and other demigods showered flowers from the celestial gardens. The flower shower appeared like the falling of an unlimited number of teardrops mixed with kajal. Krishna pleased the demigods by happily accepting their prayers. By the arrangement of Yogmaya, no one saw Krishna swallow the forest fire. Afterwards, Krishna returned to the gopas who were relaxing with the cows in a cool, sweet shade of Bhandirvat. Smiling mildly, Krishna said, "Now you understand why I asked you to close your eyes? Now open your eyes and look at me." The gopas opened their eyes and exclaimed, "Oh look, what happened? Did we go crazy? Where is that forest fire? Was it just a dream? Somehow we are just sitting here peacefully under the banyan tree with the cows." Feeling astonished, the cowherd boys became silent. The cows felt happy and secure now that the forest fire was extinguished. Seeing Krishna, whose feet are the supreme objects of worship and the epitome of purity, the cows became overwhelmed with joy. The cows cried while repeatedly licking and smelling the Lord's transcendental body due to intense affection. Reciprocating with them, Krishna compassionately fondled the cows with his delicate pinkish palms.
Are you welcome?